relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. On this very special day, we have a very special version of America First for you with some in-studio guests. We're going to do, may I do this? May I take his name? It's not in vain. It is meant very sincerely. We're going to do a John Batchelor. He's my radio hero, a man who is just mastered. He is the master of the long form. And we're going to do long form so we can take the big issues and dive deeper to get to the truth that, you know, the legacy fake news industrial complex doesn't want you to hear. And we're going to start with a real warrior, been a good friend to me personally, a good friend to this show. She's just a rock star. Fox News contributor, host of her own podcast, also the Dark Wire Foundation. Follow her at Sarah Carter DC. Sarah, welcome back in studio.
So great to be back. What a great day.
Indeed. I want to do something a little bit different. I haven't rehearsed anything of any of this with you, so I'm just going to ambush you, Sarah Carter.
Oh, God,
are you ready?
No. Never.
I'm going to ambush you like they ambushed Biden. What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
My favorite flavor? I don't know.
What?
Oreo. Oreo cookies and cream.
That's a very good one.
Rocky Road. I love that.
All right.
Some chocolate.
All right. What's wrong with vanilla?
I love vanilla.
Vanilla's the best.
I love it mixed, though,
okay,
with
clearly,
my cookies and cream, clearly, or with my chocolate,
right,
or my Rocky
All right.
Road.
The hard ambush questions are over. Now we're going to get to the easy ones. For those who've been in a cave for the last few years, who haven't seen the incredible things you've done, let's start with a little, who is Sarah Carter? Where did you come from? How did you get to do what you're doing today? Give us the little potted life history, if you would.
Don't laugh at yourself. I'm laughing. You're right. I am being ambushed. Okay, so...
She's closed the laptop, guys. For you, for those who aren't watching,
closed,
this is big.
I've
she
closed
is in my
laptop.
Studio, and she has closed her laptop. I can't believe she's going to get jittery. She's going to have withdrawal symptoms imminently.
I've got my coffee with me. So here's my story. I was born in California to a mother who was an immigrant from Cuba, came in the 1960s on the Johnson Freedom Flights, and a father who was a World War II Korean veteran who worked for Lockheed Martin and traveled eventually when I was 6 years old to Saudi Arabia, where my father worked in Saudi Arabia in the kingdom. And
was he an engineer? What did he do?
Yeah,
for Lockheed?
he worked with the AWACS plane.
The early warning planes.
Yeah, that's right. The early warning planes and worked in Saudi Arabia. So I spent the majority of my childhood up until high school in the kingdom.
Wow.
And the reason I bring that up is because I believe that changed me, right?
Sure.
Traveling as a young girl, traveling all over the Middle East and in Africa and different parts of the world just changed my perspective and what I did in life, and it, particularly after September 11th. So fast forward, you know, I spent the rest of my time in California with my mother after my father died. I also knew what it was like to have very little when my mother ended up with very little money. And, you know, we were trying to get through school, and my mother worked in a factory, and she worked in an old folks home afterwards, you know, a nursing facility where she would spend most of her time just trying to cheer people up and you know, cleaning up around them. And so I understood what that was like. I knew both sides of the coin there. I eventually went into journalism. I graduated from college. I studied Middle Eastern foreign policy at UCLA, but eventually graduated Cal Poly Pomona. Immediately got hired by the Daily Bulletin that said they wanted me to come work for them. It was a medium-sized newspaper in California with the Los Angeles News Group.
So right out of college, you started journalism.
Just right out. Right out the gate. Because I wasn't going to college to be a journalist, actually. You know, I was very interested. Would I go to the FBI? Would I work in communications? Would I go into politics? And I had a journalism professor who was like, I just read your story in this class, and it was a story that I had done on prostitution in our community.
Wow.
And, I went out. I interviewed a prostitute named Bobby, who I had seen frequently on Mission Boulevard in Pomona.
How do you do that as a college student? You just say, hey, Bobby, can I interview you?
Pretty much. I walked up to her and I said, you know, I've seen you on the street every time I drive to school, and I've seen you here on this corner every day. And she was stunned that I even cared.
Wow.
And I found out that she was a nurse in her previous life, that she had become a drug addict. And I even interviewed her pimp.
What?
Yeah.
You're crazy. How old are you when you did that?
I was pretty young. So I did it. I interviewed them. I did the big story. And then I went to work covering stories in our community, social justice issues, issues that I believed we needed to pay attention to. Because I always told, you know, I always would tell people, look, even though there's an area of town, you say, well, that has nothing to do with me. I live in the hills, or I'm not associated with the poverty, you know, the lower side of Pomona, or the area where there's gangs. It would always cross over, right? You would always have children from Pomona or involved in gangs that would maybe rob somebody in a different community. Or eventually what happened was a police officer was killed in Pomona by a 15-year-old boy. And so it was no longer just gang violence on gang violence. It was then violence that wrapped in an entire community.
Right.
And once I started doing those stories, it eventually led me to the border, where I asked my, you know, my editors, I said, hey, let me go to the border. We have so many drugs on our streets. What's going on? The Mexican cartels are bringing them through. I started to cover the border. That led me to the Washington Times here, you know, in Washington, D.C., where I then began my career covering terrorism and the war and the Pentagon. And
when did you start doing your crazy war corresponding from the region?
Pretty much late 2007 up until 2015 was the last time I actually went back into Iraq.
Tell us all the places you've been as a national security war correspondent.
Oh, goodness. Well, of course, I covered the U.S.-Mexico border. I've been in Mexico. I've been to Guatemala, Honduras. In the South Asia, it's Pakistan and Afghanistan multiple times, sometimes for 6 weeks at a stretch. Iraq, of course, Bahrain, Qatar, spent a lot of time in Qatar, Kuwait. I know I just travel. Africa, I've spent time in Africa.
Where
Egypt.
Was the scariest? Where did you really worry?
Where I really worried, there were a couple of places. Covering ISIS, Islamic State, was terrifying to me because I knew that they had, at that time, they were still in Mosul, and I was heading up to Sinjar. And I was in a car with a driver that I had just, you know, was connected with through sources, and one cameraman. And we were driving from all the way in Kurdistan.
No security detail.
No security.
Just a driver and a cameraman.
Yeah, just a driver and a cameraman. All the way past Mosul, all the way through all the checkpoints up to Sinjar on the border of Syria. And that was very frightening to me. Also Mexico. I think the most terrified I've ever been in my life And I've been on the ground in Afghanistan multiple times, yeah. Terrified of IEDs, of course, terrified of being kidnapped. That you think about that all the time. But in Mexico, covering the drug cartels, I have never been more afraid in my life, because the behavior of the cartels, the absolute monstrousness and ruthlessness of these cartels were on par with what we've seen with Islamic State, right? And sometimes even worse. And the beheadings, the destruction, the rape, the dismemberment, the things that I've seen in pictures, and how the behavior extends to, well, they're a shadow government, a narco state in some cases. So you don't even know if you can trust the police.
Right.
You don't know if you can trust the military at all times. And believe me, there's a lot of good people there, too. But you just don't know.
Yeah, it's not a functioning state in the classic sense of the word. We're talking to Sarah Carter. Follow her right now. No H's, okay? H's are banned for the next hour. Sarah Carter DC. Also, SarahACarter.com. Also, at Dark Wire Reports. Fox News contributor. Just all around, you know, amazing teller of truth. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, live streaming on YouTube, Facebook, available on Instagram TV. Don't forget, we have a backup plan. You've always got to have a backup plan, because YouTube, they don't like freedom of speech. We're going to discuss that. Go to rumble.com/Seb Gorka for all our videos, because they believe in the Constitution. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA, and you'll never miss a thing. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing on this special day, stay on this channel and don't touch that dial.
Sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
We believe in the Constitution here on this very special day. It's something we should rally around more than ever. Somebody else who does is, of course, our good buddy, an American patriot, a great supporter of the 45th President of the United States, my friend Mike Lindell. He has released a new film. If you haven't checked it out, if they haven't deleted that website yet, go to michaeljlindell.com. But in the meantime, the best way you can support him and organizations like ours that push back on the propaganda is to support his company. Go to MyPillow.com. Because you're listening to the show, because you're my friend, he's going to give you more than 60% off his incredible USA-made products. That's MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. The pillow that he sold more than 51 million of, that I use, my whole team uses, never gets hot, never loses its shape, 10-year guarantee, not $69.98, $29.98 when you use my name. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. RKA, or call 800-829-8468. It's a whole galaxy of incredible products. Support Mike, because when you support him, you support us and those who are pushing back. Let's stay on this issue with our special guest for the whole first hour here, Sarah Carter. Follow her, SarahAcarter.com and Sarah Carter DC on Twitter. You were telling me in the break about YouTube. So we had our own. This is why we have our jokey Chiron up, because I guess this in this is like, you know, the magic Harry Potter cloak of invisibility. We had Marjorie Greene on the show a few weeks ago. And she said Trump voters have a problem with the result of the election. They don't trust it, because a congresswoman said that. We were suspended from YouTube for a week because she actually voiced an opinion. That's why we have that Chiron, because they said, you can't say stuff like that without a disclaimer. Well, okay, the fake news disagrees with us. We'll have that disclaimer just to poke fun at you. What's happened with your story? Because it wasn't even to do with an American election. What's your story with what happened to your YouTube channel, Sarah?
Well, it's incredible. So at the same time you were going through your challenge with YouTube, we got a notice from YouTube as well, saying that my platform had been demonetized.
So all your videos not make money,
couldn't make any money, couldn't do any advertising. They said you absolutely have to go through everything. They wouldn't explain what they wanted us to take off.
So the same, they didn't say which video.
No, no. And even when we contacted the YouTube on the email that had been sent to our website, my IT guy contacted them, they didn't say anything. They said, you need to go through them. So we went through all the videos, and the one video that YouTube flagged had nothing to do with the election.
Was it hydroxychloroquine?
No. It was not hydroxychloroquine. No, it was not. It dealt with Yoko Ishii. She is a friend of mine in Japan. Her and her husband are wonderful people. They have been very vocal in supporting freedom fighters in Hong Kong. And our good friend, Andy Chan, who I think is a wonderful human being and a brave human being, who was actually nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. It was because of him that YouTube...
What was said in the program?
We have no idea.
That democracy is good?
Democracy is good. That China
is
encroaching. Yeah, it is encroaching on Hong Kong's freedom. That his life is in jeopardy. So, because if he speaks out, and that's the reason why Yoko was on the show with me, because she knew that if Andy came on the show with me at that point, that the Chinese would take him. We've seen a lot of people disappear.
Right.
They've threatened him. He's been arrested multiple times. This has to do with China. That sent shivers down my spine.
So it's not bad enough that you're not allowed to have an opinion. Because
In the United States.
Hang on a second. Didn't they tell us for 4 years that the last election had been stolen by the Russians? I don't remember anybody being demonetized. Was anybody demonetized because they said that the president colluded with the Kremlin?
Even Hillary Clinton said that the election was stolen and that she would never accept it.
Right. She has her podcast.
It was an illegitimate president. And they called him an illegitimate president. In fact, people in Hollywood called him an illegitimate president. Madonna threatened his... Madonna even threatened to blow up the White House. So you tell me, how is it possible that in a nation based on First Amendment rights and freedoms and the ability for all of us to think for ourselves, we are now being censored like Big Brother, being told what we can and cannot say, being by companies that are protected by the government, right? And now working hand in hand with the government.
And China,
and they're operating as publishers, but they're not being held responsible as publishers. So Section 230, they should have that revoked immediately, but it won't happen because we're here with... So we have to ask ourselves as Americans, what society do we live in? What do we live in? When you and I are called out, when you have to remove videos of a congressional member who was elected by the people... Because obviously they want her to speak for them. It doesn't mean you have to believe it. Look, you don't have to believe anything she says. You can turn the channel if you don't want to listen to Sebastian Gorka. You don't even have, or Sarah Carter, you don't even have to go onto our YouTube podcast to download it. What threat do we pose? What threat? I don't understand. I'm asking the administration this. Because the administration has now made the American people, turned on the American people and said, you are insurgents.
Yeah.
If you speak against what we are preaching, our narrative, we will call you out, we will ostracize you, we will target you, and we will make you a terrorist and an insurgent. And we are expanding our powers.
This isn't an exaggeration or a hypothesis. So we discussed this on my show, America First, a few weeks ago. There is credible evidence that the Biden administration is proposing in camera with the Senate Intelligence and House Intelligence Committees to use the NSA's surveillance capabilities and the CIA's against U.S. citizens, not going through any FISA warrant program, but actually using the label of domestic threat to surveil U.S. citizens using standing executive orders. When they say domestic threat, I don't know about you, but I've worked counterterrorism since 1991. I think they're not talking about terrorists. They're talking about people who they politically disagree with and who voted for Donald Trump. What's your feeling?
That's absolutely it. And you're 100% right. I've also spoken to a number of sources over the past week that have said the exact same thing you are saying, that they will be operating in camera, that it's 1233. 12333.
Right.
And that they're looking at expanding those powers. Absolutely. This is something that we have never, I used to say, when the CIA and the NSA had such expansive powers, even going all the way back, you can look at the Church hearings, right?
Yes.
This was a big deal for Democrats. Democrats, Senator Frank Church, he went out there and he was fighting the expansion of the NSA to spy. This was 1975. They were intercepting at the NSA phone calls, Americans, communications. And that is the reason why in 1978, the FISA passed,
was
right?
Was created.
And you have the secret court to protect us.
Let's just be clear. A secret court.
A secret
that meets in secret to issue secret warrants to spy against U.S. citizens. We've only just started. We have a special hour on this special day with Sarah Carter. Follow her at Sarah Carter DC, sarahacarter.com. I'm Sebastian Gorka, member of the National Security Education Board. This is the Salem Radio Network. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
With the deepest voice in talk radio, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Just don't ask me what the secret is. You just gotta gargle with gravel. We are back on this special day, long form each hour. Stop laughing! I'm trying to be deadly serious with my. I want to get some voice work, and she's laughing at me. I want to be the next James Earl Jones. I can do it.
Yes, you can.
What's that silly guy on TV, MSNBC?
Oh,
with a deep voice. Shad knows. Who's the guy I make fun of all the time?
I don't watch.
Eugene Robinson, who talks like this, and he's not affecting it at all. Okay, let's go a little bit off onto a tangent. We're going to talk about the serious issues again in a second with our special guest, Sarah Carter. But your story, I loved hearing it. I can't believe I've known you for years and I never asked you that that origin story, the genesis of Sarah Carter. What is your advice? Because you're working with protégés and journalists, but there's millions of listeners to this show, viewers, and there may be some out there who are interested in getting into your field. I'll give my piece of advice that's general to any field of any career, and then I want to hear yours. I will say, don't get blinded by the fancy letterheads and the organizations, okay? It's the individuals that matter. Find people who have proven themselves, work with them, intern. It's not, you know, the RAND Corp. I've worked there. It's not the RAND Corporation or AEI or whatever that's important. It's the guy or gal in there who does the best analysis, the best reporting. Work with them, engage with them. What is your advice for the novice, the newbie in the field of media?
I've always believed, and I was lucky to have mentors, I think, that taught me well, right? And that when you go into a situation, you go in clean. You might have read the stories, you might have seen things about it, but you don't go in with presuppositions about what this is. You don't go in saying, well, because all these people don't like Trump, I don't like Trump, and therefore I'm going to find the story. You just go in without any, you go in objectively, even though it's hard to be completely objective. I remember in Afghanistan, when I would go there, I would not go in there saying, okay, these are the stories I'm going to bring back to my editor. I would say, let me go there. Let me see what is happening, and then I will bring
back.
Oh, so
you wouldn't go with a target list and a menu.
No,
you just go there, okay, what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on?
Interesting.
And that That's how I always did it.
Fascinating.
And I was always able to break stories that no one else would see because of that.
Right, because you weren't limiting yourself.
I wasn't limiting myself. I would go in. I remember I covered opium addiction in women and children in Afghanistan. But what I stumbled on was the fact that a lot of these facilities that were supposed to be rehabbing Afghan women and children were actually stealing money from the United States, and that the patients weren't even really withdrawing from heroin.
It's just a sham cover.
It was just a sham, exactly, a sham cover. So everybody else wrote the story, the BBC, all these poor women, everybody wrote these stories.
The human interest
story. The human interest story, and I came in and ruined everybody's party. Truth can do that. Right. And it's not always what you want it to be. And I think what happened, what we've learned from the last 4 or 5 years is that journalists have gone away from that.
Yeah.
They even if you didn't like the policies, I'm not saying everybody has to agree. I'm not saying we all don't have different ideas about things. But as a journalist, your job is to tell the story the way it is, not the way you wish it was. And I think the New York Times and the Washington Post and all of these major news outlets that we had relied so much upon failed miserably.
Yeah.
The American people, our democracy, our Constitution, all they had to do was ask a question. You know John Brennan, Clapper, whoever leaks the information, Comey, show me proof. Show me proof that President Trump was in cahoots with the Russians. They never had it, but nobody ever asked that question. Because they became such close friends with these people, these officials, these senior officials, that they couldn't see the forest through the trees. And you know what? In the end, they didn't care. And that was a crime to the American people. And a crime, really, for a democracy and a republic.
And sad to say, at least for the time being, they all got away with it. Even that FBI lawyer, Klein Smith, who forged a CIA document and got 100 hours of community service.
Disgusting.
It is truly, truly disgusting. But we still have people like Sarah Carter who are prepared to commit to the truth and who aren't afraid. And we have to salute that. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Follow her, sarahacarter.com, Sarah Carter DC. This is the Salem Radio Network. More with Sarah on this very special day. It's the long form day. It's the presidential long form day. Don't forget, if you miss anything, go to our website, sebgorka.com. That's SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com. Follow us on Twitter at sebgorka, Instagram, Facebook, Rumble, you name it. And hopefully, back on Parler soon. Stay on this channel.
When I use the term, this is nothing short of treasonous, I equate it to the betrayal of one's nation, basically aiding and abetting, giving comfort to an enemy. Mr. Trump had the opportunity to say clearly to the American people and to countries around the world and to Mr. Putin, do not do this again or there will be consequences. And he failed to meet even the minimum standards of that.
John Brennan, former counterterrorism advisor for Obama, former director of the CIA, calling Donald Trump a traitor, his acts treasonous in terms of his Russian connections. Let me just remind everybody, this is the same Brennan who, when he was being interviewed to join the CIA in the 1980s, admitted on a polygraph that he had voted for the Communist Party candidate for U.S. president. I don't even know how you get a job in the CIA after you admit that. Your reaction to what this is an indicator of. We're talking to Sarah Carter. Follow her, sarahacarter.com. How bad is this? When you hear the news of Bank of America recently and everything else, what does it leave you thinking in terms of your motivation to do your job?
Well, it actually, one, it in a way it frightens me because I feel like I've always relied and bragged and, you know, even when I travel overseas, I'm so proud of my nation, so proud of living in America. You know, when I speak to other reporters, other journalists in Mexico, they're dealing with the drug cartels and, you know, corruption inside their own government that many times leads to their death. Right. When you're in Pakistan or you're dealing with Russian journalists or journalists in the Middle East, they're, you know, they would tell me, you know, oh, I'm so scared. I'm worried about who's listening to my phone calls. I don't want to do a story on that because it frightens me. Would you take this information and write it? Now I'm saying that. Now I'm talking to people who are saying, I'm afraid of being on the phone. I'm afraid of telling you something. I'm afraid my phone call is being monitored, not because of classified information, but because what we're talking about is, you know, political ideology or frustration or anything that can be made anything. This is the fear that people live with in other nations. We're not supposed to live with it here. And by the way, Brennan has verged on sedition so many times. He was the former head of the CIA. He should not be talking this way about the president of the United States. He is in my opinion, he is the threat, not anybody else. It's him and people like him. But I should have known, Sebastian.
Why?
We all should have known. Because they were always mocking from the very beginning of this investigation into the Russia hoax. They couldn't get away with what they wanted to get away with. They were exposed, but they were never afraid.
No.
They were never afraid. They would get jobs on MSNBC and CNN. And remember, McCabe is working as an analyst for, you know, the cable news outlets and Clapper and Brennan. And they did whatever they wanted. And then they laughed at us. And then the DOJ was working with them, it appeared. Yeah. It appeared from the very beginning that they were protected.
How outrageous is it that we got nothing out of the DOJ? This Klein Smith plea deal, zip. I mean, McCabe, Stroke, the Orr couple, nothing.
Nothing. It's like it disappeared.
Right.
And it's and you're where's Durham's report? And why does it even matter now?
It doesn't.
Doesn't even matter
doesn't.
Now. Kevin Kleinsmith gets a slap on the wrist. Can you imagine? Could you imagine what would happen to us for falsifying government documentation to spy?
Intelligence community documents.
Right.
CIA documents to spy on somebody.
On an American. Yeah. On an American who the CIA had already informed the FBI that this person, Carter Page, was a good person and had assisted them on numerous occasions.
Had assisted on numerous occasions against Russian agents.
Right.
Okay, we're just going to get ourselves head up. Let's talk about another issue that you have done just sterling work on, and that's the southern border, illegal immigration, the caravans. We had the former commissioner of CBP, Mark Morgan, on the show recently. And he had the following to say about the situation that is on the brink of reaching our southern borders. Eric, play cut. So now we have these caravans coming, thousands and thousands. How is that not a COVID threat greater than people arriving at Dulles Airport from London Heathrow?
Sebastian, clearly the question is rhetorical, but you're spot on. Think about it. What I'm calling the caravans right now are mobile COVID petri dishes.
Mobile COVID petri dishes. This isn't, you know, saber rattling.
No, it's not. Actually, I've been on the phone over the last few weeks with Mario Duarte, the former head of Guatemalan intelligence. I've spoken to other sources in the region, talked to Border Patrol as well as ICE about this issue. And Mario himself said that when the flood of at least the first wave of that big caravan came over, I think it was around 7,000 people is what they were estimating. 9,000, between 7,000 and 9,000, that there were over 23 people. Not everybody was checked. In fact, a lot of people just rushed the police.
Right.
But of the 300 people that were actually checked, I think around 29, over 29 tested positive
COVID. Almost 10%.
Right. Of that one group.
Right.
The rest just kept moving. So there is concern right now that this is just the beginning. And accompanying minors is going to be huge. It's going to be an enormous problem right now for the Biden administration, for the American public.
This could be the first big crisis, couldn't it? I mean, it could be China, could be Iran. But I think this is probably going to be the first big crisis for Biden.
I absolutely believe it will be the first big crisis because we've seen him right now. He's got 9 executive orders basically that overturn Trump's policy on the border. It's completely flipped on its head. Right now, the drug cartels and the human trafficking organizations are basically advertising, you want to get to the U.S., President Biden is going to give you amnesty. Amnestia, amnestia, amnestia in Spanish. That's what they're going to get. So you've got poor people who are being manipulated, you want to talk about the people that are suffering? If you really care, if the Democrats really cared about human suffering and human tragedy, they would not perpetuate this horrible behavior at the border by basically stamping on the laws that actually are meant to protect not only American citizens first,
but the women, the children.
But the women, children, and everybody who is being trafficked by these monsters from Guatemala all the way to the Mexico border, to the U.S.-Mexico border, where they are raped and drugs and pedophilia and all kinds of horrors.
And then indentured. And then indentured is often with into the sex
servitude.
Industry. Follow this lady. She never gives up. She never backs down. SarahAcarter.com. Sarah Carter, D.C. This is a very special edition on a special day of America First on the Salem Radio Network. Coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't touch that dial.
What I want for my people, I just want patience and pass that we can get to the U.S. because they're having a new president. Where's Biden? He's going to help all of us. He's given us 100 days to get to the U.S. and give us legal mental paper so we can get a better life for our kids and family.
Yeah. Biden's told us he's given us 100 days to get to America, and then you'll be a citizen. You'll get your amnesty. That's one of the migrants from one of the caravans. Thousands of individuals coming, and I predict it will be the first big crisis. And I also predict Sleepy Creepy will not be up to the task. We are. It's been too fast. What happened to that hour? It just disappeared with Sarah Carter. But she'll be back because she is a good friend of America First. For the last few minutes, please tell us, what is thedarkwire.com?
You know, I want to first tell you thedarkwire.com is an investigation foundation where we are going to cut through all of the noise and train young journalists to tell the stories to the American public that they're not being informed of in the mainstream media. And that's what's most important here. We're looking at stories all the way from our campaign against hate and the rise of anti-Semitism in the United States and around the world to human smuggling operations in Central America and teaching people to be investigators, right? To tell the truth. Most importantly, we are relying on our U.S. Constitution. And we're not embarrassed to say it because that's where it all starts,
yes.
Right? Freedom of speech. That First Amendment means everything. So while everybody's being censored, while we have, you know, the memory hole existing, Dark Wire is going to do something different. We're going to make it great again.
The anti-memory hole.
Yes.
I like that. The anti-Orwellian antidote. Not just looking after the stories, looking into the stories the legacy media doesn't want to look into, but actively encouraging the next generation of investigative journalists.
Right. Actively encouraging them and telling them, look, this is a duty. It is a sacred honor. It is something to be so proud of. And when you're out there telling the stories, you're informing the public so that the public can make the best decisions for themselves. And in the United States of America, we shouldn't be afraid to question. We shouldn't be afraid to hold our elected officials accountable because guess what? They work for us. Yeah. We don't work for them.
Something that we forget all too often. And indeed, from the get-go, we were never supposed to have a professional political class. It was supposed to be citizen politicians who went back to their jobs after they served a short period in office, just like our first president did. In the meantime, follow this lady, support her, thedarkwire.com. You know who she is. You see her on TV every single day. But are you following her website? SarahAcarter.com, Sarah Carter, D.C. I'm Sebastian Gorka. We're going to continue our special, special President's Day issue or episode of America First with more long-form interviews for the whole hour in studio. Stay with us, won't you? This is the Salem Radio Network.